Hello and welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. The following message is part two of our series, Conversations with Jesus. And this week's message is titled, The Calling of Matthew, and is presented to us this week by our associate pastor, Pastor Aaron McKee. So now, let's join Pastor Aaron as he shares with us this week's message.
I hide and seek in the dark. We had a giant 12-foot bonfire and just powerful times at the altar. Man, God is doing something special with our young people, and so I'm privileged to be able to work with them. Speaking of young people, there was a young man who wanted to enter a monastery, believe it or not, and he wanted to become a monk. And the order that he wanted to join had a very strict rule of silence. And the abbot told him on the very first day that he'd be on probation for 15 years. And the only time that he would get to speak was once every 5 years for 1 minute, and only to the abbot himself. The young man accepted, and he was registered. And eventually, the first 5 years passed, and he was summoned into the abbot's study. "How are you, my son?" said the abbot. "Oh, all right, thank you, Reverend Father," replied the young man. He said, "Have you any complaints?" "Well, sir, there is just one thing. The porridge is a little cold at breakfast. It'd be so much nicer if it were warm." "And right," said the abbot. "I'll see to that. Time is up." So the young man left and did not speak to anyone again for another 5 years. Then he had to go again to the abbot's study. "How are you going on?" said the abbot. "Oh, all right, sir, I think. Have you any complaints?" "Well, yes, sir, there is just one thing. My bed is a little hard, and I could use a little extra straw on my mattress so I could sleep better at night." "Right," said the abbot. "I'll see to that. Time is up." So another 5 years passed, and he went in to see the abbot for the last time. "Reverend Father," he said, "my 15 years probation is over. Are you going to accept me as a full-time member of your order?" "Dear me, no," said the abbot. "You've done nothing but complain since you got here." So this morning, we're continuing on our series, Conversations with Jesus. And much like that joke, this conversation contains few words, but it gives us an incredible glimpse into the heart of God. We're going to look at the calling of Matthew. And Matthew was probably one of the most notorious sinners of all of the disciples that Jesus chose. He was a tax collector. And that's kind of about the last credential that you'd expect for someone who would be a future leader of the church, an apostle, because tax collectors were like the most hated people in all Israel. They actually had the same social standing as prostitutes, and they were considered traitors to their country because of what they did. See, they extorted money from people for the Roman government and actually padded a little extra cash along the side beyond what their job description entailed. And they could even use thugs if they didn't get what they wanted. And in our passage this morning, Matthew was sitting in his booth in the middle of his sinful ways when Jesus called him to a new path. So please turn in your Bibles to Matthew 9, starting in verse 9, and let's stand for the reading of God's word this morning. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice, for I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless the reading of your word this morning. May it penetrate our hearts and give us the insights that we need for this moment and this time in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So this call to Matthew seems to come out of nowhere. Jesus is walking by, and I'm sure Matthew was even shocked that he would stop to talk to him. I'm sure that Matthew had known about Jesus from his seat in the tax collector's booth right there in the crossroads. He would have heard all kinds of stories coming to him from all over Palestine about this miracle worker. And undoubtedly, being a Jew, Matthew knew the Old Testament And he must have seen messianic prophecies being fulfilled all around him. And I think deep down inside, something was drawing him to this man named Jesus. And in his booth, Matthew's spirit was aching for something more, something he probably couldn't even describe until Jesus spoke. And instantly he knew this was what he was looking for, and he left everything. Now, why would Jesus pick a tax collector? Did Jesus know what he was doing? Did he make a mistake and mistake him for somebody else? Did he walk by the booth, call him, and then all of a sudden Matthew turned around and is like, oh, too late? I don't think so. I think Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. He was going after the man who everybody else was trying to avoid. And he makes the understatement of the century, follow me. This situation absolutely amazes me. First of all, the simplicity of Jesus' call to Matthew, follow me. And secondly, the fact that Matthew actually got up and followed. It has always intrigued me that Matthew would just drop everything and follow Christ. Yet as I studied this passage, I think I discovered why Jesus didn't have to say much to convince Matthew. It was the fact that there was something magnetic about Jesus. People were drawn to him because of the life that he lived. And when Jesus said, follow me, it was his character that made the call compelling. Church, let's never forget that there are people outside of these walls who are watching to see how we live out our faith. They're making faith decisions, whether we know it or not, about God, the Bible, church, Christ, by the way that we act. And it sounds kind of impractical, doesn't it? Turning your God on, or turning your back on the God of the universe because some person's not living out their faith. But if we really think about it, we know that actions speak louder than words. And people in our circles of influence instinctively know that if we have something worth following, we're going to live it out. Matthew knew about Jesus because his reputation preceded him, and Jesus knew about Matthew. He knew about him, all of his shortcomings, everything, all of his decisions, everything that he had decided to be in life. He still chose him to be his disciple. That kind of gives us some hope, doesn't it? Jesus' disciples did not have elite status or education. In fact, they were the commonest of the common. He deliberately passed over the religious elitist, and he went for men who were ordinary and weren't afraid to admit their own sinfulness. He chose the humble, the poor, and literally the bottom rung of society to be his disciples. Now, how's that for choosing a team? Hey, forget LeBron James, D. Wade, and Chris Bosh. Let's go for Larry, Moe, and Curly. Okay? It just doesn't seem to make sense. But God's ways are not our ways. And he had a plan for those 12 disciples. And they would literally do some incredible things that would turn the world upside down. We know that later on in his life, Matthew went on to write the first book of the New Testament. And it actually systematically leads people out of the Old Testament and into the New. And it serves almost as a biography of the life of Christ. Yes, Jesus knew about Matthew. Who better to record details than somebody from the IRS? You see, he saw those details, these skills, and those traits that Matthew had acquired through his life, his training, and his education. And he turned those skills around and used them for good. And some of you may not know how God could ever use you to make an impact. But you've acquired skills, and God can use those. See, God sees what you have to offer, and he says, I can redeem that. And after the resurrection of Christ, Matthew's ministry expanded into Syria, Persia, and eventually into Ethiopia. And he spent time there teaching and performing miracles. And tradition has it on the day of his death that the king of that country had Matthew arrested. While he was teaching in a church, he was dragged outside and nailed to the ground with short spears and beheaded. That's a long way from the tax collector's booth. When Jesus called him, Matthew didn't know the gravity of the words, follow me, but he did it. And once Matthew walked away, there's no evidence that he ever looked back or that he ever regretted it. In fact, he did something that's been having an impact for over 2,000 years. And missionaries like him have passed the baton and made it possible for us today in our church to do what we're doing in Ethiopia. It's amazing what a simple act of obedience can release. And I'm sure that Matthew, the tax collector, didn't fit the mold of what everybody thought that he should be. But God sees what can be. So let's not make the mistake of looking at one person and saying they'd make a great Christian, and then looking at somebody else and just shaking our heads. Because we have no idea the destiny and capacity of people, and who are we to pick and choose who should follow. God often chooses the most dishonorable people and uses them in extraordinary ways. Jesus rejected the rich young ruler who looked very Christian on the outside, but he wouldn't fully surrender. And instead, he took the tax collector who left everything. He looked past all Matthew's inadequacies and he brought him in as a friend. And the day he left his booth, Matthew invited all his friends over to his house to meet Jesus. Verse 10 says, while Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. Have you ever wondered why Matthew would invite all those tax collectors and hoodlums over for dinner? Could it be that those were the only kind of people who would associate with him? He was a religious outcast. He wasn't even allowed in the temple. These were the only kind of people he knew. And this dinner party at Matthew's is a picture of the kind of social networking that Jesus did. And I think there's a massive message being sent here. Look who he's eating with. A picture's worth a thousand words. He's eating with a defiled group of people and having conversation with them. Verse 11 says, when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners? You see, in the eyes of the Pharisees, eating with the tax collectors suggested approval of them. Jesus was losing some serious popularity points here. Remember back to your school days when you didn't want to be seen with the wrong crowd? Maybe you were the wrong crowd, I don't know. But here is Jesus eating with sinners, and the Pharisees didn't like it. And in a sense, they had a point. The Jewish scriptures clearly stated that a person should not fellowship with sinners. But those passages warn against being influenced by sinners. And here we see that Jesus is eating with sinners, but he is the one influencing them. He's not being led astray. He's performing spiritual surgery. Look at verse 12. On hearing this, Jesus said, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. You know that the Bible describes Jesus as the great physician? It describes him and it says that he is the one who binds our wounds and heals our disease. And you know what? There's a room full of people and he's reaching out to the needs of those around him. How cool is that? See, when we see Christ in the middle of his mission, we see that the heart of God is for the lost. When we remember, and it gives us a great example of what our conversations should look like. And at Matthew's house, we see Jesus engaging many sinners. That doesn't just happen. He was making an impact. If I could compare the situation at this dinner party to working out at the gym, we look here in these verses and we see Jesus doing something that's equivalent to bench pressing about 400 pounds. You don't just walk up to a bench press and press 400 pounds. A person doesn't just walk into a hospital and perform surgery without training. Jesus was incredibly dedicated to the things of God. And the more you dedicate yourself to something, the bigger impact you can make. Lord willing, of course. My brother-in-law is a rescue diver for Military Sealift Command. And he travels all over the world and gets paid to work out. And basically, he is constantly in training for emergency situations. And one of the ways he keeps his conditioning up is that MSC will fly him off of the ship in a helicopter out 3 miles. He'll jump off and have to swim back to the ship in the open ocean. So he's not the guy you'd want to jump in an alleyway, if you know what I'm saying. But if somebody's drowning and that person's in trouble, he's the one you want on the job. And I think we all understand, you don't just jump off the side of a ship in the middle of a hurricane and save 5 people. That doesn't just happen without intentionality. And with the amount of needs in the world, God will use us to the extent we prepare for. So how much do you want God to use you? At Matthew's party, the Pharisees were disgusted that Jesus would even eat with these sinners and tax collectors. And who did they think that they were? They knew that the scripture said that there's no one righteous, no, not one. They understood that they'd fallen short of God's glory, that they'd broken God's laws. Did they forget where they came from? Did they think that they were better than these tax collectors? Yes. Can we forget where we came from? Can we lose our empathy and our understanding for those who haven't found Christ? The answer is yes, we can forget. Every day we run the risk of looking down at the Matthews in this world if we forget that that was us sitting in that tax collector's booth, living for ourselves, caught in our sin. Thank God somebody reached out. Thank God somebody cared about us. Bible commentator Craig S. Keener said, "Jesus' example gave me courage to continue to engage all people with the gospel, regardless of their moral background, and some of them committed their lives to Christ. Yet I have learned that some apparently worshipful churches and Bible-centered churches do not welcome such persons, suggesting ultimately that Jesus, who ate with sinners, might not truly be welcome there either." I hope that these verses this morning really encourage us not to lose sight of the needs around us. Because when we lose our sight, when we lose our vision, we lose our purpose. A young man named Roger Rose tells a story about when he was a boy over 60 years ago, and his younger brother was fatally injured in a tragic accident. A dirt road ran alongside their house, and rarely was there ever a car on it. But one day when his young brother was crossing the road, a car came roaring up over the hill and ran over his brother and killed him. And Roger said, "Later, when my dad picked up the twisted, mangled bike, I heard him sob out loud for the first time in my life. He carried it to the barn and he placed it in a spot we seldom used. He said, my father's terrible sorrow eased with the passing of time. But for many years, whenever he saw that bike, tears began streaming down his face. And he said, since then, I've often prayed, Lord, keep the memory of your death that fresh in me." Friends, let the memory of your calling stay that fresh. The moment of your salvation at the foot of the cross, never forget the day you left your booth of your old life. Never forget. In this conversation, the Pharisees are looking down on this whole situation with Matthew and his friends. And Jesus responds by saying in verse 13, "But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but the sinners." This was an honor and shame-based society that they lived in. And a public complaint like this amounted to a challenge. And Jesus has a very well-timed comeback that silenced his challengers. And he quotes Hosea 6:6, and he implies that maybe they've never even read Hosea, because Hosea had spoken to a people who were satisfied with their ritual, but they were displeasing to God. Let's remember Christ's mission today. He came to seek and save sinners and call them to repentance, sinners like you and me. He wants us to treat others the way he treats us. And God desires mercy, not sacrifice. He's not interested in everyone who walks through the doors of a church acting like a Christian. Christians should act like Christ. But it's not fair to ask somebody who doesn't know Christ to act like it before we talk to them. Could I hear an amen? A tax collector like Matt is going to collect taxes unfairly until he receives a new spirit. The gossip at work is going to keep gossiping until the Holy Spirit lives inside of them to help restrain them. A teenage boy without a dad is going to act like a teenage boy without a dad until somebody mentors and disciples him. And then look out, world. We've got a fully devoted follower of Christ in our hands. Yeah, I've had two friends of mine die this past year, both at the age of 33. And one of them I spent a lot of time reaching out to. He'd lived a hard life of drug abuse, run-ins with the law, street life. I can remember Brandon and I sitting in my kitchen and praying the prayer of salvation over 10 years ago. Time passed. I moved away. Life went on. Brandon was always a little bit different. He never quite found a place to fit in at the church, and old habits die hard. On New Year's Eve 2009, he got into a fight with his dad, who called the police on him. Brandon had warrants out for his arrest. He was high on some kind of drug, and he ran outside into the bitter cold, and he jumped into a lake, and he hid in the frigid water up to his neck, trying to hide out from the police. And Brandon stayed in the water too long. He caught hypothermia, and he died as the police pulled him up to shore. Brandon hid out in an unsafe place because of his fear of what was going on back on shore. Now, how many people do we know who would rather take their chances with eternity rather than come into the warmth and safety of God's forever family? They could never see themselves as a part of a church, or they just can't see themselves ever connecting or fitting in. We've all met people who've been turned off to Christianity because they felt excluded by church people. And I think we understand that was never the mission of Christ. That's missional drift. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of seeing people in this generation go unimpeded on their road to hell. We need to be willing to think outside of the box. We need to be willing to engage people on their own turf. We need to be having spiritual-type conversations in our day-to-day lives. What will happen if we don't? Well, the Matthews in this world will never make it into the kingdom. How many Matthews do you have in your life? If we do what we've always done, we'll get what we've always got. What did Jesus do? What were his results? If we did the same thing, would we get the same results? Remember his mission. Follow his call. Jesus still calls today, and he says, "Follow me." Do we know where that call is going to take us or what this year will look like when we do? No. But following Christ's call today will get us to where we need to be tomorrow. His call helps us to navigate life. We say, life's tough. He says, I know. Follow me. We say, I'm upset. He says, follow me. We say, what am I going to do about my health or my finances? He says, follow me. If he sees you to it, he will see you through it. Just respond to his call. Or maybe you've never responded to his call. Who can you see yourself as in this story? Maybe you're like Matthew. You felt looked down on, left out. Maybe it could be over such a thing as finances. Don't worry about what people think about you. Just follow Christ. He'll help you to forgive and to move past whatever has been holding you back. You know what's really interesting is that Matthew's gospel was written to share the good news with the Jews, the very people who had excluded him. Matthew's heart gave him a call. Matthew's call gave him a heart for those people who had hurt him. Maybe you forget where you came from, like the Pharisees, and you tend towards a judgmental spirit. Just remember that we're all in process. Some people are further across the bridge than others, and that's okay. You know, when we see someone who's hurting, It's our job to bandage the wounds, not to be disgusted by them. Remember that that person that you look down on was you before Christ. They need you to come full circle and do what someone else did for you. Maybe you're like Matthew's friends, just checking it out. Maybe a friend invited you and you showed up for the free food. But today, you hear Jesus calling you. Are you ready to follow? Are you tired of your old life and something inside you tells you that there's something more? Can you keep doing the things that you've always done and still be fine? Or are you desperate enough to take a chance? Are you willing to make the jump and trust Christ? There's people all over this world, and all over this room who will tell you that Jesus is someone you can trust to get you where you need to be. Choosing Christ doesn't just mean saying a prayer. Like Matthew, it means starting down a new path. And if you're ready, you'll know it. See, all roads may lead to Starbucks, but they don't all lead to heaven. There is one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And today may be your opportunity to begin a new relationship with Him. I'd like to ask the worship team to come up to the front and lead us in a closing song. And as we sing, just respond to His call. Whether you need God's help to help you move past the past, or if you want to ask Him to give you a more passionate heart for the lost, or if you need to begin a new journey with Him, just pray a simple prayer. God, help me. I need You. Empower me. I can't do this life without You. Change me. Let's pray. God, this morning, let us hear Your voice speaking to us. God, let us capture the flow of Your heart for this world. And as far as it depends on us, let the Matthews in this world know that somebody cares about them. Lord, help us to find ourselves in the type of conversations that You were in. And when You return, find us going about the Master's business and find us faithful to Your call. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast featuring the second part of our series, Conversations with Jesus. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us next Sunday for our One Summer Sunday service at 10:15 a.m. or drop in a little earlier and enjoy some coffee at our Connection Cafe that opens every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. And if you'd like more information about our church, you can visit us online at www.pcctoday.com.